Here we are, the day before Thanksgiving, with so much to be thankful for. The Tigers, the Cajuns, and the Saints having that type of a season. And we get to see it all in living color. And AD makes his return to the Smoothie King Center. Oh, that will be fun. And Stephen F. Austin shocks the college basketball world. Anything's possible. And we'll cover it all today, Wednesday, November 27th, 2019.
Leonard on the right wing, just sizing up Luka Doncic between his legs. Spin, fadeaway jumper, 12 feet away. He connects. Kawhi Leonard has it stuck on automatic in the fourth quarter. 28 points for the Claw. Clippers are up by 20.
Yeah, 2 years in a row. With the Saints, too. It's kind of cool, a rivalry game that night. I'm good with playing them whenever they schedule them. Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, doesn't make a difference to me.
Oh, it's going to matter this time, Mighty Ice, because the Saints are coming. The Saints are coming to Atlanta, and they want to show no mercy. Payback time for the Saints and the Falcons. Good afternoon. Welcome. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you and yours. Stephen F. Austin shocked the college basketball world. First, it was Michigan State at number one, got beat. Then it was Kentucky at number one. They got beat. And then it was Duke last night at number one. Stephen F. Austin wins it 85-83 and the biggest winner of them all in the aftermath of the shocking upset. Might be the fundraising effort for the family of the player who hit the game-winning layup, Nathan Bain. Let me tell you the story about this. Since a two-month-old GoFundMe page set up to help Bain's family rebuild from Hurricane Dorian had raised about $2,000 prior to last night's stunning upset. After the upset, you look at the GoFundMe page, it's now up to $62,189. Go ahead, Bain. The donation total skyrocketed after that disbelief. The 6'6", fifth-year senior guard says, "I was just in disbelief at what basketball has done for my family. It was truly a blessing." The goal was to raise $25,000, and now they're up over $60,000. How about that? Welcome. Good story. Thankful. Yes, indeed. CD back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Root Studios on the campus of Delta Media, which houses KLWB, which is 103.7 The Game, which happens to be the number one sports station in Acadiana. Yours truly, Jordy Hultberg. Thankful to all of you for listening in and dialing us up. Tonight, basketball action. The Lakers and the Pelicans. LeBron coming to town. So is his sidekick, Anthony Davis, who says, "Yeah, I'm going to have some mixed emotions coming back.
When I go back, I'm going to have mixed emotions." And it's all because a great 6.5 years, and then that last half, it was, you know, so it was just like, you know, I know the fans going to boo me. You know, I got booed when I was still playing there, you know, right. But it's gonna be fun for me. Like, man, it's another game. You know, I just want to win a game. You know, I don't care what AD had 10 points. They shut him down. All right, I want to win, you know. But I was talking with someone the other day. Like, you think they're going to give you a tribute video? I don't know.
They aren't. Trust me, because you didn't win anything. Sorry, you didn't. All right, on Thursday night, the Saints traveling to Atlanta, as we said, for a night game, the last of the triple header, which we have a triple header here on 103.7 The Game, including the Saints game. So dial us up. No Marshawn Lattimore. Sean Payton talked about how that affects his club.
It can change a little bit of what you're wanting to do, maybe with your plan. You know, the next guy up has got to be ready to play. PJ's played some outside then. And, you know, you got to decide how you want to play certain coverages with certain receivers. That's the biggest thing that jumps out.
Biggest thing that jumps out. Saints are going to get it done. All right. As always, we start off today with the all-important weather. Chris Cozart, meteorologist of the Stars and for KLFY, kind enough to join us. Chris, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just getting ready for Thanksgiving. How are you guys?
We're doing terrific. Let's talk about Friday night high school football. We got a lot of Acadiana teams that are playing here or playing on the road. What's the weather going to be Friday?
Yeah, Friday night looks good, man. I think we're looking at probably some mild conditions and dry weather Friday night. I think it's good for those high school games where they had to fight the rainfall there last week. No problems this week.
All right, I'm hearing rumors of Saturday, Baton Rouge, Tiger Stadium, the threat of rain. That's not the case. What's happening on Saturday, not only in Lafayette, but in Baton Rouge as well?
Yeah, it's going to be all in the timing. We're going to have another kind of strong cold front come through, almost similar to what we had last night and this morning. And there's going to be a line of showers and thunderstorms, but it's all about the timing. Right now it looks late Saturday, so I think that LSU kickoff's 3 o'clock. I think we
six
may
o'clock.
Get away with
six,
that
no,
one.
Six o'clock, Chris, 6 o'clock.
Six,
and the
six
Raging
o'clock.
Cajuns are at 6:30.
Okay, so those later games, that's a little bit of a concern because I think there will be the chance for some scattered showers and storms there coming up this Saturday, especially later in the day, and there's even a severe threat. It's going to be scattered, so there won't be a big washout, but there's definitely going to be storms in the vicinity and things to worry about there.
So always the thought of thunder, lightning, so there may be a delay or two, quite possibly, possibly.
Yeah, that's going to be the only concern there. And again, there could be some severe weather, so we just need to, and they do pretty well these days. If there's any lightning within, I think, 10 miles of the stadium, you know, they shut down the game and they delay the game. They bring anybody inside. But that's going to be a concern. It's going to be pretty warm there Saturday. You know, it felt like spring yesterday. I think it's going to have that kind of feel to the air there on Saturday as well, no matter if you go to the Cajun game or if you go over towards Baton Rouge. It's going to be warm.
Okay. Chris Cozart. As always, and the Saints, of course, they play inside the Georgia Dome or the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so that's not an issue. So, okay, so good Friday and iffy on Saturday. We'll leave it at that. So thank you as always, and all the best to you, your family. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday weekend, my friend. Thank you.
You too.
All right, Chris Cozart of KLFY. Let me tell you what we have on the program today. Jim Nickel, the Nickel Report, everything you need to know about the Texas A&M Aggies. Tigers favored by 17 in that one. We'll get that report. Doug Morrow, Jordy and the Judge. We will talk all things LSU football against the Aggies. College Football Playoff Committee came out with their poll, and they put Ohio State at number one, LSU at number two. Does not surprise me at all. They came out and said point blank, it's about LSU's defense, plain and simple. Whew, if that's not even more motivation for that side of the football, holy cow, I just don't know what else they need. It's time to step up. You keep talking about all the great talent you have on that side of the ball, it's time to step up, and now would be a perfect time to do it, to get some confidence before you head to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. So we'll talk with Doug. George Faust will join us. We'll talk about all the high school football teams in Acadiana still alive. Survive and advance, baby. Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, will join us in hour number two. It's rivalry weekend in college football. So many good matchups with so much on the line. And then the trio, CD, George Becknell, and myself, will give you kind of a Monday's headlines in advance of what happens over the weekends. All coming your way here on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Thanks for dialing up the Jordy Helfrich Show.
This is everything you need to know about the Tigers' opponent on Saturday. Time for the Nickel Report.
unscathed, undeterred, and it's been the best season of the Nickel Report by far. His crack staff has gone out and turned over leaves to give us the best information that we could possibly garner. And for that, I say thank you, Jim, and happy Thanksgiving to you, your beautiful family. And it's always fun catching up with you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving day. Got all the girls in, and we're going to have a nice family day. And then maybe play a little golf Friday, and then get ready for the Aggies on Saturday.
Kid doggy. Arkansas, no troubles. It was great to see LSU play a lot of players. It was great to see them relatively unscathed. And me personally, I don't think Ed Orgeron should have apologized. I mean, he said the truth. Look, we're not celebrating beating Arkansas. They hadn't beaten anybody in a long time. We're moving on to A&M. I thought that was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I think because he spent some time at Arkansas, he maybe felt like he slighted him a bit. But, look, they left the boot on the field just like they left the Magnolia Bowl trophy in Mississippi. Talked to Joe Burrow after the game, and he said, look, all of our goals are still ahead of us. This is not the goal. This is just the step. So, I think his biggest challenge for this game is keeping this team from getting too keyed up. I mean, they make no mistake. These guys had last year on their mind. I know I have last year on my mind because we were there till God knows when. And then the plane couldn't land in Baton Rouge because of fog. So we had to land in New Orleans. Then we had to wait for the buses. 5:30 in the morning when I got home. 5:30.
Been there, done that. I had to sit next to Nick Saban and hear him complain the whole damn time when we were waiting for those buses to come by. So I've been there, done that. I got the postcard. I know exactly. I feel your pain. But take me back to last year. You're up in the press box. What do you remember seeing out of that debacle?
I remember seeing people just barely being able to move. I mean, I heard the interview the other day with the referee for that game, and he pointed out that towards those last few overtimes, the defense was just simply moving in steps. I mean, they couldn't even run. I just remember how tired everyone was, and that probably added to it. And then Damian Craig was just a punk before the game with all of his antics, and then was, showed his real punk self after the game, coming over to our sideline. I watched a lot of that with my binoculars. Thankfully, I didn't get down there. If I would have, I'd have found their spotter and I'd have taken care of him, I'll tell you that. So.
My money's on you, man. And I want John Battle on my side. That boy can throw a right hand.
Yeah, he can. Yes, he can.
All right. I know they got a lot of money in Aggieland because they're paying their coach an awful lot of money. And who's smiling like a Cheshire cat but Ed O? Because Tom Herman ain't living up to it. Jimbo's team has taken a step back, although they're dangerous. And Ed O's just sitting there going, here I am. So let's hear what you got to say about the boys from College Station, Texas.
The Texas A&M Nickel Report. Texas A&M founded in 1871. By the way, the first public institution of higher ed in Texas. That's right. They were around before the University of Texas. They didn't come along till 1883. Of course, all Jardy Holtberg listeners know LSU was founded in 1860. Big campus, biggest one in America, 5,500 acres, seventh largest university student-wise. They've got 40,000 undergrads, 5,500 graduate students, 4,000 doctoral students. That's almost 50,000 students on campus there. Their endowment, knocking on the $11 billion door, they're at $10.8 billion. That's with a B. That would be $10 billion more than we've got at LSU. Fourth largest endowment amongst all public universities. They're 10th overall. You throw Harvard and everybody in there, they're in the top 10 in endowments. Good school, too. 19th best public university in the country, according to Texas A&M. And a very rich military history. During World War II, there were more officers in the U.S. Armed Forces from Texas A&M than the combined officers from the Naval Academy and West Point. 29 A&M graduates achieved the rank of general during World War II. Very proud military school. You'll see that if you ever go to an A&M game.
Yes.
Very proud tradition before the game. And by the way, the 12th man tradition, where's the 12th? Where does that come from? 1922, Texas A&M had so many injuries in a game, the coach literally turned to the stands and said, I need some help. And a basketball player, might have been Jordy Holtberg, jumped over the fence,
no.
came on the sideline, and although he never played, he was ready to play, and that symbolizes the readiness and the support of the 12th man. By the way, Aggie fans are expected to kiss their date every time the football team scores. Let's hope they don't have any kissing in Tiger Stadium.
Is one tradition that I would wish that we had at LSU back in my time. That would have been great.
Me too. Well, for most of my dates, maybe some of them. mascot is Reveille 8. It's a rough collie, kind of like Lassie. Reveille 7 is retired. 10,000 people attended the funeral of Reveille 6 back in 2003. Some famous attendees, Lyle Lovett. I know that's one of your favorite musicians. Very, very good musician. Donald Zales, CEO of Zales Jewelry. Rita Benson LeBlanc, who at one point was a co-owner of the New Orleans Saints, is no longer. Rick Terry, who used to be the governor of Texas and just resigned as the Secretary of Energy in the Trump administration. Phil Bennett, a former assistant coach at LSU that you knew well. And then, of course, here's a name from the past, Curly Holman. Wow. Curly Holman graduated from Texas A&M. He was the head coach at LSU. His head coach
was he?
Record LSU.
Wait. So he was a head coach?
16-28. By the way, his record at LSU when he played A&M, 0-4.
Yeah,
Curly
that's
could
great.
Never beat the Aggies. They had one national championship back in 1939. Our current offensive coordinator, Steve Ensminger, was offensive coordinator back in 1994 to 1996 at A&M. And now this is my favorite thing about A&M. Our dear friend, LSU football radio analyst Doug Morrow, kicked a game-winning field goal, 34 yards, 9-6. The Tigers beat the Aggies to open the 64th season. And also in that game, Doug Morrow, 6 catches for 101 yards. He was the Jamar Chase of his generation.
That's unbelievable. He caught a 100-yard receiver back then. That's unbelievable.
How about that? So that is the Texas A&M Nickel Report.
I got to ask you, you do all these things, and you love mascots. So my question to you is, in your younger day, they're retiring the Buffalo up there at Colorado and the Eagle at Auburn. They're retiring that one. If you could have your druthers, would you stay at midfield with your arm out for an eagle to land on, or you want to grab one of those ropes and run behind Ralphie the Buffalo?
I'm going with the eagle. I know my speed. Ralphie's going to catch me real fast. His legs are shorter than mine, but he's going to take me out. So now I'm going with the eagle and just closing my eyes, I guess.
I'm with you on that one. What kind of receptions Jimbo Fisher going to get? I remember when Saban made his triumphant return as an Alabama coach, what that was like. I think Jimbo's going to be pretty close. I think people aren't going to take too kindly to Jimbo coming back here. You think?
Well, I think a lot of fans and your listeners probably know that they took the score from last year's game and put it on all the cups. So if you go to an A&M game this year and you bought a Coke or a beer or anything, the cup had the LSU score on it. They've been rubbing that in our face. And then they've got the winning touchdown painting hanging in Jimbo's office. So, yeah, Jimbo's not going to be a warmly welcomed. It won't feel like Thanksgiving for him in Baton Rouge, I can tell you that.
They also put the score on their a ring for winning some bowl game. They put the LSU score inside that.
Yes, they engraved inside that. So, you know, look, I think they've got it. You know, Jimbo Fisher's a good offensive coach. Kelly Mond's a pretty good quarterback. He's got that knee brace, so I'm not sure he's as mobile. Their running backs are coming along. They just lost a lot of people from last year. But he'll have a good offensive scheme for an LSU defense that's been up and down all year.
Ooh,
LSU's defense has got to play well. I don't think they can have a track meet with Joe Burrow and the offense that we have. And I really like the Tigers outscoring them by a pretty good margin. And then it's off to Atlanta for the SEC championship.
Scott Woodward was at A&M. Now he's at LSU. And one last thing. You're in the PR business. You do all this kind of stuff. Nick Saban says Auburn's the best team we've played so far this year. What the heck? Mm-hmm. Who's he lying to?
What's that? His team, and I mean, I think what he meant is this is the biggest game of the year because that Iron Bowl is just so, so important to the people of Alabama that maybe that's what he, quote, meant. But it certainly may be the best defense they've played all year. Auburn's big up front.
Mm-hmm.
And Alabama's offensive line is not what it's usually made up of. And so I think Nick's word, playing at Auburn, with Mac Jones at quarterback. I expect that. I'm going to watch that game. Definitely going to watch that game before I go to Tiger Stadium. Yeah.
Heck yeah. They tried to make LSU-Arkansas the final game rivalry. That didn't pan, but this one's working, man. We don't like A&M from what they've been doing. This ought to be testy and fun.
Well, look, we're going to have a lot of people in midfield pregame to make sure nobody's mixing it up. We might even have to get Shaq to come back to Tiger Stadium. He is a sheriff, isn't he? He's like a
policeman. How cool was that?
That is one large human being. Where I sit in the radio booth at 50-yard line, and when you see Tiger Stadium filled with 100,000 people, it's really hard to make out who's where and what. I mean, But when Shaquille O'Neal walks into Tiger Stadium, you know Shaquille O'Neal is in Tiger Stadium, both from the cheers, and he is one large man.
I got to tell you, he is large, but I've only seen one person that dwarfed him, and that was Yao Ming. Yao Ming was the biggest dude. His legs were like the stately oaks that we sing about in the alma mater. It's unbelievable. Anywho, Jim, hit them straight. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving with your beautiful family. And thank you, as always. I'm not letting you off the hook because we got to do a Georgia Bulldog nickel report. So get ready.
I'll be ready, buddy. I'm thankful for our friendship. You and I have been friends for 20 years, I'm thankful to your show and to your listeners. So I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, and go Tigers.
You're the best. Jim Nickel with the Nickel Report, back with more here on the Jordy Holtberg Show.
Time to talk Tigers with former All-American Doug Morrell. All rise! It's another edition of Jordy and the Judge.
Yes, indeed. We welcome in the color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network, a longtime Tiger through and through, my good friend Doug Morrell. Doug, great to be with you, my friend. How you doing?
Doing great, Jordy, and it's good to be with you today also, the day before, well, the day around Thanksgiving, I guess, when they play this.
Absolutely. So it's LSU A&M on Saturday. Did the College Football Playoff Committee do LSU give them even more added motivation for this one when they saw that they leapfrogged Ohio State over the Tigers, basically because they don't think LSU's defense is all that good, basically?
It's about all the motivation you would need if you needed any more.
Right.
You know, LSU came off of a loss last year after seven overtimes. Seldom do you have a game in which that game all by itself causes the NCAA to change the rule book. And that's what happened as a result of that game, because there was so much unfairness in it, and the game lasted so much longer that I didn't think the true winner was determined in the course of the game. So the rule was changed as far as overtimes, and LSU had seen won the game two or three times during the course of the game, only to have some calls reversed that were favorable to Texas A&M, some reversed that were unfavorable to LSU. But in all respects, I think LSU is very disappointed. And they have a lot at stake to try to get some revenge. And I don't think you can't look at it that way, but that is human nature.
Yes,
it is. And I think that's a great motivation. Now, for the committee then to exacerbate that by publicly stating that you, the number one team, who is still undefeated, that's been scoring all these points, we don't think you're as good a team overall as these other guys that have a Buckeye for a mascot. And so we're going to make them number one and you number two. So if LSU needed any motivation, they got it. That they shouldn't need motivation.
Right.
They ought to be able to go out and play and win the game. But they certainly do have a couple of factors that have made the motivation greater than it would be otherwise. So
you know,
I think LSU's got everything going their way. The only thing you worry about is the weather. You know, don't know what the weather's going to going to be, it looks like there's going to be some rain, pretty good rain during the late afternoon, the early evening, and may last throughout the game.
Eesh, that's no good. Don't like that. But regardless, Doug Morrow, color analyst, LSU Sports Radio Network, 6 o'clock kickoff. So the pregame show right here at 4 p.m. on 103.7 The Game, followed by the call of the game. I didn't think Ed Orgeron needed to apologize to anybody. I thought he was very truthful in his assessment after the game. We're not celebrating. I mean, we beat Arkansas. Everybody's beaten Arkansas. We're moving on to the next game. I didn't see anything wrong with that. I know he's got, you know, he spent some time there. I don't think you needed to apologize. The truth is the truth.
No, and certainly not. And I understand what he was doing. Maybe somebody got their feelings hurt by the comment that he made. And by that, I mean people in Arkansas. But actually, what he said was, it was completely accurate. LSU played well the first drive. And then they didn't play particularly well for most of the remainder of the first half, but then came to life towards the end, ended up with a big spread, and then played well, except towards the end of the game, they gave up two easy scores, mm-hmm. which actually, I think, caused the committee to say they're not that good on defense,
right.
Because it didn't look, it looked like we did against Ole Miss. And so I think that that is what Coach O was talking about when he was trying to compliment his team on the victory, but pointing out to them that it really is not that much to celebrate. Because without my telling you publicly that you didn't look good the last 8 or 10 minutes of the game, you really didn't look good. So that's what he was trying to say, I think. And his team got the message. They understand mm-hmm. that. Matter of fact, I think that that's probably the best way that you can come away with a victory in a game like that, where you just completely demolish the opposition, but you played badly enough in one respect where you have to work on that respect. It's been two games in a row now, remember, that LSU has given up big plays over and over and over again with no good reason. And it's good for coaches to be able to point that out and give the team a script to follow in order to improve their play so that the next game they play better. So I think in retrospect, winning the game the way LSU did against Arkansas is kind of the best way to have it happen, because it doesn't give you the big head when you just like Duke last night. You know, I'm sure they didn't expect to get beat by Steve Ness Austin, but that's going to make them better next time out. And likewise, I think LSU is going to be better next time out against Texas A&M.
College basketball is crazy. Three times already. We're not even to December. The number one team has been beaten: Michigan State, then Kentucky, now Duke. So makes for a crazy college basketball season. But college football-wise, you've seen a lot of football teams. You've seen a lot of players. If I had to do the old Mount Rushmore thing with just players, athletes that played at LSU, I'd have to put Cannon because of the Heisman. I'd have to put Pistol Pete because of what he did on the basketball court. I'd have to put Shaq probably because of his worldwide aura. And I'd have to put Joe Burrow. I've never seen anything like this guy at LSU, ever.
You know, it has been phenomenal. And it actually didn't just happen this year. It kind of happened in the latter part of last year, where Joe Burrow, and I think, you know, the game that I attributed to a couple, the Texas A&M game where he really became the total factor in LSU's offense. And he carried the ball, 29 times against Texas A&M in the final game of the year. And in the bowl game, after he took that hit, threw an interception that got returned for a touchdown, and he got whacked on a blindside block, and people held their breath, rightfully so, and he gets up off the ground and comes back and leads the team with a great, great performance, as if he had not gotten whacked as he was, because he is a warrior. And that, I think, is the moment, although it was taking place little by little throughout the season, that's the moment in which he became the leader of the team. It's become better and better and better ever since then.
No question. Doug Morrow, kind enough to join us. When you think of Texas A&M and you saw them a year ago, I guess everything starts with Kellen Mond. Maybe he hasn't lived up to the total billing this year, but he's still a pretty dangerous quarterback.
Well, I tell you, Jordy, if you look at the LSU-Texas A&M game last year, Kellen Mond played like Joe Burrow in that game. He played much better than he really is.
Yeah,
but he played that way, and he made great passes in a lot of difficult situations. And he has the guys coming back now. He had a tight end named Jake Sternberger last year who really
Very
relied
good.
Upon. He graduated, but he has a freshman tight end, Jalen Weidemeyer, who is big guy, 6'5", 260, and he's replaced Sternberger very well. Courtney Davis is one of his receivers, who is a great player. Jamon Osmond, the other receiver. Both are just juniors this year, but both of them were starters last year, and they both had great games in that game. So Kellen Mond, along with his tight end that Jimbo Fisher knows how to use very well, and the two receivers, and when you tack on to that, he's got a freshman running back, Isaiah Spiller, who has set all kind of records as a freshman, and Travion Williams was a great running back that they lost, but Spiller has stepped in just as if they didn't lose anybody. So they have weapons at all of the places they need to have weapons in order to beat LSU if LSU lets them win. So there's a real challenge for LSU because offensively, Tigers have given up to the offense of the opposition a lot of big plays during the course of this year, and Texas A&M has the kind of players that can make big plays.
Doug Morrow, color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network. A&M is bowl eligible, but they played Clemson when they were number one. They played Alabama when they number one. They're getting ready to play LSU when the Tigers, well, I guess we're number two, but number one in the AP poll. They played Georgia. They played Auburn. They've lost all four of those games. Be a signature win in the Jimbo Fisher era. Your thoughts on Jimbo? Have they taken a step back this year, or is their schedule just too tough to navigate?
I think both, maybe to a degree, but I don't know that they've taken a step back so much as this is they were expected probably to have, by some people, a better year than last year. But when you look at the schedule that they've played, it's hard to do that. The four losses that they've had, they've been very competitive. They played Georgia lights out, I thought, last week, and made Georgia look kind of pedestrian. Alabama beat up on them pretty good, but they still were very competitive in that game. Even in those four losses to teams that were in the top 10, they have played well. And they have improved as a team. So they have a lot of young players who now are no longer young players. They're in their 12th game of their career as opposed to playing as freshmen. So it's very similar to what's happened at LSU in the last couple of years, where they had freshmen who at the beginning of the year showed some potential. By the end of the year, they showed that they were veterans. Texas A&M has the same thing. And Jimbo Fisher, you know him very well, Jordy,
mm-hmm.
and you know what a fine coach he is, and he has a great staff. In fact, part of his staff is the old LSU coaching staff.
Yes.
Dale Pivato is on that staff. He's got a couple of other people on the staff who have been LSU assistants in the past. So he's got good coaches. He's got a lot of good players. Texas A&M's got the great tradition that you just can't overlook. You know, it's going to be a challenge for LSU if they come out and play less than their best. It's going to be really tough to win. So that all the motivation that LSU needs, including the two things we talked about earlier, but the very fact that this game is the last game of the regular season, this is the one that's going to determine, although LSU will go to the conference championship, this game is the one that's going to determine largely where they fit into the overall playoffs ultimately. So, okay. You know, it's got everything that LSU needs motivation-wise.
Huge. Doug Moore, color analyst, LSU Sports Radio Network, LSU, Texas A&M, Saturday in Tiger Stadium. 16 seniors will be find a Jew. Joe Burrow will be the last one called out. It'll be a rising ovation for him. Let me ask you, you brought up the weather situation. You've played football at every level that football can be played on. Talk to me about the weather. With a team that relies that on quick strikes, passing game, the most accurate quarterback in college football, how does that affect what LSU does offensively?
It used to, in the old days, have much more effect than it does now. Players now have, in the first place, the playing surface in Tiger Stadium is a grass field. But it's well-conditioned. It is very, very well-kept. And it has maintained itself even during the course of a rain. It drains very well.
Okay.
LSU's equipment is much better than it used to be, including, most important, the receivers wear gloves and the running backs wear gloves.
Okay.
So those tacky gloves, where back in the old days you used to have wet hands that you were dealing with and a wet football. Now you have a new football every play, or at least a dry football every play. You have gloves to help you catch the ball, and the fact that it might be wet is to the advantage usually of the receivers, because okay. They know where they're going, and the defensive back does not know. So if you try to highlight those positives, the rain doesn't hurt the offense nearly as much as it used to. But still, I just don't like the rain. It's a factor that doesn't belong in the game, not that there's anything you can do about it. And, of course, you know, we're still 4 days out in the weather in South Louisiana. Who's ever been able to predict it 4 days ahead of time? So,
yeah,
you know, it may end up being a hurricane. It might end up being beautiful weather. We don't know yet. I hope it turns out to be a good playing situation for both teams, because that's the way this kind of game needs to be determined.
I'm with you. I know receivers wear gloves, but that quarterback probably doesn't when he's throwing it. That would be unusual, I would think. So we'll see.
Some of the pro quarterbacks, some of them wear gloves. So in fact, some of them wear gloves on the offhand, not their throwing hand.
Their
offhand. Some of them wear gloves on both hands.
Can you believe that Lamar Jackson guy? Was that the same guy? Didn't we play him in a bowl game and shut him down? The NFL can't stop the guy.
That's the last time he got shut down, I think. I mean, he has really matured as a player, and he makes the NFL defenders look like a bunch of children out there.
Yeah.
He runs away from them. He runs over them, and he has become a spectacular passer. I mean, really good. He used to be erratic. He was capable, but erratic. Now he's very consistent, and that along with his natural raw ability. And look, he's just in that league, what, his second year now? It's amazing that he has been able to do that. And he's got a good team around him. There's no question about it. But he's the one that makes them go.
No doubt. It's a great weekend of college football. And what kind of reception do you think Jimbo Fisher gets when he comes back to Tiger Stadium?
I don't know. Well, they're not going to promote it, for one thing. So I don't know. I don't think people have any bad feelings about Jimbo Fisher. I certainly don't. I thought he did a great job when he was here. Yeah. He is a very talented coach. He's been successful everywhere he's been. I know that he was almost the LSU coach, if you believe things, you know, that were being talked about by people. And he's in a good place where he is, and he's won a national championship. So I am happy for him. I wish him a lot of success, including winning the silver medal after the game this Saturday.
As one coach I used to say, we finished second. So there you go. Well, hopefully the weather will be good, and hopefully we'll be able to see this LSU offense do a whole heck of a lot. And I just got to believe that LSU's defense is hurt enough. And I think there's enough talent there. And I think they're almost back to total health or as close as you can be after in week 12 of a college football season. I just got a funny feeling that this defense is going to play like we're used to seeing an LSU defense play, or pretty darn close to it. But that's why we go to the games, to watch it and see, and that's why we turn on the radio so we can listen to you. Doug, thank you so much. Enjoy this season's final game in Tiger Stadium, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jordy. Good being with you as always.
All right, you take care. Doug Morrow of the LSU Sports Radio Network, and, of course, from the station that just gives and gives and keeps on giving, we got stuff to give to you as well. We've got things like, for instance, we got the Cajun Country Run coming up on Saturday, December 14th. You can register now at cajuncountry.run. You can compete in the half marathon, the 10K, or the 5K. There's also a trail run option that runs along the beautiful scenery of the Vermilion River. Gatorhead trophies will be handed to the top finishers, and you can even dress up like Santa and win Best Dressed or Fastest Santa. This event supports the nonprofit group Trail, which works with our local government to make Lafayette a more active place by providing safe places to bike, ride, run, hike, and paddle. Find out more about Trail at latrail.org. Run with us. Sign up now at thecajuncountry.run. And we've got a certificate giveaway, $50 gift card to Half Shell Oyster House in the 1037 The Game Clubhouse at 1037thegame.com. Back to wrap up hour number one here on the Jordy Helpert Show. Welcome back, Peterbilt of Louisiana. It's the best in the industry for years and years because of their reliability, their dependability, their comfort, their look, their resale value with offices in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. It's the best, without question, without doubt. Peterbilt of Louisiana. It's the dream of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt. Well, LeBron James is coaching up Anthony Davis on his return to his former city as the Lakers and the Pelicans at 8:30 tonight will play some hoops. He's going to get booed. He's going to get booed each and every time he touches the ball. That's just the way it's going to be, plain and simple. Now, the question is, can the Pelicans put the ball in the basket more times than the Lakers? We shall see. So a little basketball, LSU basketball back in action on Friday in the Pete Maravich Assembly Center. Hour number one is in the books coming up. All the high school action in Acadiana with George Faust. We'll talk all the rivalry games in the SEC and beyond with Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. And then George Becknell, CD, and I, the tripod, will give us some headlines for Monday, on this day. It's all coming your way. Hour number two of the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Come on back.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number two of two, and away we go. And we begin with our good friend George Faust, sports director of KLFY. It's a very significant weekend for high school football. We're down to semifinals in the select, quarterfinals in the non-select, and we've got some number one seeds that are still hanging in there and advancing. So, George, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Doing great. Jordy, thanks for having me on again. Look forward to it every week, man.
Absolutely. Same here. No question about that. Let's talk about some of the teams that are in there. Let's start off in the select in the semifinals. The number one seed, Lafayette Christian, they're 10-1 overall. They're traveling to Baton Rouge to take on fifth-seeded Dunham. The Dunham Tigers are 10-1. Dunham surprised a lot of people, I think, by going to New Orleans and taking on Newman and beating the Greenies on their home field. But Lafayette Christian's a different beast, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. They have really a complete package. They've got talent up and down the roster. I think I've said it numerous times just about how impressive their wide receiver core is. I know that they have really two guys that can play quarterback, but when they put Aaron Rodgers in at quarterback, he gives them that dare I say the Lamar Jackson kind
yes.
of mystique, where he can run it, he can make plays, he can throw it if he needs to, but you have to account for that if you're on defense, and I think that's where LCA is so effective, is because they can kind of pick and choose how they decide you're going to lose the game, you know? And you're like, all right, we're going to stop the run with Logan Gabriel. No problem. Okay, we can just throw it over your head to Dane Wallace and to the other guys that are just Sage Ryan and just the other wide receivers, the stable that they have. So it's really pick your poison. If you're on defense, you're trying to push your will on them, but yeah, you got to be smart about it, and it's going to be hard to do because they have so much talent on the offensive side of the ball, and that defense is pretty stout as well.
The winner of that game will take on the possibility of, well, the winner of St. Charles Catholic versus Catholic of New Iberia. Catholic beat Notre Dame 24-21 in quarterfinal play, so could have an all-Acadiana area championship game in the select division number three. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I went out and talked with Catholic New Iberia this week. Trey Amos is their quarterback. He and Brent Endeth, obviously a very seasoned head coach. They won the state right. championship back in 2017. So they know what it takes to get there. St. Charles is going to be a tough opponent. But look for Trey Amos to have a big game just because I know that Coach Endeth told me, he's like, look, we kind of hold him in a case with regards to the regular season. We don't want him to get hurt, or because we know we're going to need him for the stretch run of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And so look for Trey Amos to kind of break out here. And if he can do that, then the Panthers will be in good shape.
We're talking with George Faust, KLFY Sports Director, in Division Number 2 semifinal action. It's the number 5 seed St. Louis at 9-2 taking on the number 1 seed at St. Thomas More, the Cougs at 9-2. Just same old with St. Thomas More.
Look, you know, it seems like every week we say the same things, but it really is amazing to watch STM play and kind of just the way they their offense works, and it's so majestic, if you will.
Precise.
If they want to run the ball, like last week, I was at their game, and it was just really so. They were so fluid. It looked like it came so easy to them, and I don't know if that's just because they know the offense so well, if it's the coaching. I'm sure the coaches will joke with me and say, yeah, absolutely, it's the coaching. But, you know, the players make the coaches look good. So I think when you have guys that understand what the coaching staff wants to do, like Caleb Holstein and Jack Desch and the running back, I forget his name at the moment, he's a solid senior, and they have mm-hmm. a bunch of seniors on that team that they yeah. know what the coaches want. And I think that makes that offense kind of flow a little better. And then their defense obviously able to live up to the task when it comes to the postseason so far this year.
The winner of that one will take on my De La Salle Cavaliers, because De La Salle is going to take on and beat U High at Tad Gormley Stadium. So it could be the Cougars versus the Cavaliers for the whole kit, boot, and caboodle. Karen Crow also a winner in the playoffs. They survived in advance. The Bears are living up to the reputation as well.
Yeah, look, Karen Crow, that's a team that maybe a lot of people across the state didn't kind of have their eye on all year. But because of where we live and what we know about the Golden Bears, this isn't a surprise, I think, to people who cover them, who follow Karen Crow football. I think the surprise is coming in statewide, where they're like, oh, Karen Crow, it looks like Karen Crow's back. You know, I think they're kind of waking up some people across the state with their solid play and the play of the running back Williams, and just the unbelievable way they've been able to kind of extend games and make things go their way. And that's what's happened over the past few games, and they're taking care of business, moving on, and hopefully for them they get another win and survive in advance.
Yeah, they're the fifth seed. They're 9-2. They're taking on Warren Easton. The Eagles are the 20th seed, and they're 7-4. Bro Bridge is a sixth seed at 10-2 this season. They're taking on the number two seed the three seed rather, Carr. Carr is at 9-2. So good luck to Bro Bridge.
That's going to be a tough game. The key, I think, in that contest is going to be for Bro Bridge is going to be if the Travian Pop, they call him Pop, if he can have a big game. He's a wide receiver. He's a fast guy. A lot of schools are kind of looking at him, but he has been able all season long to kind of get the ball, make plays, and basically impose his will with regards to how you do that as a wide receiver. Once he gets the ball, creating after the catch, making big plays, that's been his positive. So if Pop can do that for Bro Bridge tonight, I think they have a good chance at getting that win, even though it's on the road. They're at Carr. Carr's a tough team, no doubt about it.
Yeah. And finally, in Class 5A, the number one seed, the Wrecking Rams of Acadiana, of a 12-0 on the season. They have to travel to take on the eighth-seeded Airline. Airline is 10-2. It looks like, to me, a showdown between the number one seed, Acadiana, and the number two seed, undefeated West Monroe, and that would be a heck of a championship game if things fall into play.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Coach McCullough doesn't look ahead. I know he's worried about Airline this week, and they're going to take care of that. You can't look past, especially after the Rams are on a mission. They've been on a mission since last year. I think in that semifinal game when they lost to Zachary, they were not that was a tough loss. It was at home. It stuck in all their players. Hearts, you know, and they feel that, and I don't think they want to feel that again. So I don't think they're overlooking Airline by any stretch of the imagination. But you're right, a 1-2 Acadiana West Monroe final that makes it kind of a throwback back to the, like 2005 and 6 when West Monroe was big and then Ted Davidson was running the show for the Rams as well. So yeah, that looks like it could happen if everything holds serve.
He is George Faust, sports director of KLFY. Saturday around 6:30, the Raging Cajuns, who have already wrapped up their division. They know they're going to be playing in the Sun Belt Conference championship game yet again, but they're 9-2. Boy, it sure would be great to get a 10-win regular season. And to do that, they've got to take on their rival in UL Monroe, who would love nothing more than to salvage their season by upsetting the Raging Cajuns. But, man, I just don't see it happening. I think Napier's got this team rolling, man, and the defense is so good.
Yeah. Look, I mentioned it earlier. I think one of the big things everybody's talking about around here is how to get more people into the stands and
I give up. I went on my diatribe. I give up. They're never going to show. I'm going to take the approach that they're just never going to show up. And then Napier's going to leave for greener pastures, and then you're going to go back to mediocrity again.
And people are going to get upset about that. But when you have 14,000, I did a commentary on it on Monday, and when you have 14,000 people show up to a game that's pretty meaningful, I mean, 9 wins in the season, you have That, but you're right. This is what's going to happen. They're going to win here. That coaching staff's going to win here. They're going to get cherry picked. He's going to, yeah. You know, Ron Roberts is going to get offered another head coaching job. You know, Billy Napier is going to get. Don't be surprised if. I mean, we don't hear about it, but I would be. I wouldn't be shocked if Florida State contacted Billy Napier. They might have hired somebody already. I don't know the situation over there, but I'm saying there. Guy, he's a coach. He's a good coach who's proving that he can win wherever he's at. So if you're not going to support this, you're not going to. This is Jordy. This is the best team. I did research on. I went back in the media guide. I looked. There no. This could be the best team that the Cajuns have ever put out on the field.
No question.
In the history since 1900. Yeah. So. I mean, so if they win 10 games in a season, that's something no other team in the history of the Cajuns has done. So why would you not want to be there? Like, people are like, oh, you know, LSU's playing, blah, blah. Okay, that's great. LSU's playing. That's fine. But if you're a Cajun fan and you want to go support your team. It's the way that's how – go to the game. It gets frustrating after a while. And anyway – back to the game. I don't see ULM coming in here and stealing one just because of the way Coach Napier has his guys prepared each and every week. And every set of new challenges, as he said earlier in the week, you know, hey, you know, you win a game that you're supposed to win, you gotta stay level. You don't perform as high as you thought you should, but you still get a win like they did against South Al. You still got to come in and perform. So I think he's got them on a track to make sure that they kind of stay level-headed going into this contest and can achieve something that's never been done before in the 125-year history of college football at this university. So
I'm with you.
It is frustrating. You're right.
They'll never show up. If not now, they never will. So I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to convince them into doing so. I give up. I raise the flag of surrender, and that's it. LSU plays a terrible team, but you know what? 100,000 people show up because of just what you said. This is one of those teams for the ages. You never know when it's going to happen again, if ever. You better go say, I was there. I was a part of
right.
it. If not,
right.
shame on you. So anyway, enough of that diatribe. But a busy, busy weekend. And we always appreciate your time. Have a great one, my friend. And we'll talk to you next week. Hopefully these Acadiana high schools will have great success. And we'll be talking about a couple in the state championship game and a couple in semifinal plays. That would be great. Thank you, George.
You're welcome. Glad to do it. Talk to you soon.
All right, you got it. That brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. The Biart family for nearly 90 years have been putting out the same great product because they care. The finest spices, the finest peppers. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce here with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Mr. College Football, next. And we welcome you back. It's always the thrill to welcome in on a rivalry weekend of college football, Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart. Tony, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Jordy, I'm doing great. Thanks.
It is, boy, this is the kind of weekend we live for. I can't believe it's the end of the regular season in college football. But let's get cranking here right off the top. The Egg Bowl, boy, there's some rumblings at Mississippi State. It seems to me Ole Miss is the better team. What says you?
Well, there's no question there's some upset people at Mississippi State. They're 5-6. They need to win the Egg Bowl to qualify for a bowl. Ole Miss is not going to a bowl at 4-7. So the only way to salvage their season, of course, is to beat Mississippi State and win the Egg Bowl. And, yeah, there's been a lot of rumblings about Joe Moorhead. And, you know, maybe that's a fit for him at Rutgers because people worry the fit is not there. But, listen, the Egg Bowl, Jordy, is one of the most intense games we see every year. It is incredibly intense, and so I'm expecting a pretty good football game here.
I'm with you. I'm not going to worry about some of these other ones. I want to talk about the in-state games. Boy, Tennessee's really turned things around. Jeremy Pruitt, for all they say, he's really done, I think, an impressive job. They get to host Vandy. Should be no trouble for the Vols, should it?
No, and I wrote earlier this week, actually I've written a couple of times, that if Ed Orgeron wasn't around, Jeremy Pruitt would be your SEC Coach of the Year. Of course, Coach O is going to be the SEC Coach of the Year. But for them to start 1-4 with losses to Georgia State and BYU, and people are starting to look up Jeremy Pruitt's buyout, they have turned it around, and now they're 6-5, got a chance to win 7 games, and that's coaching. He did a very good job with that team.
All right, let's go down to the Plains of Auburn. It's a big game for Alabama. Auburn at 15th ranked. Alabama stays at number 5 in the playoff committee ranking. So they need to be impressive in this one. How do you see this game going?
I'm leaning towards Auburn because a couple of things. Number one, Auburn's at home. And I think Gus is like 39-10 at home. Okay. That's number one. All right, number two, Alabama does not have a great defense, and Auburn does. And okay. I think Auburn is going to make Mac Jones is getting his third start at quarterback and replacing.
It's his first.
This is really his first start. Okay?
Yes. Because
he played Arkansas and Western Carolina. So I think Kevin Steele, the defensive coordinator at Auburn, is going to dial up some things to make Mac Jones most uncomfortable. I think it's a close game because Alabama's too talented with those receivers. But I think Auburn finds a way to win.
Louisville's at Kentucky. I like the Wildcats in this one, although Louisville's kind of getting better as the season goes along.
Well, Scott Satterfield, of course, inherited a dumpster fire at Louisville that Bobby Petrino left him and had to rebuild. People don't remember Scott Satterfield had a lot of success at Appalachian State. So he's done a nice job. They're 7-4. I like the Cats at home. The Cats are 4-2 since they moved Lynn Bowden Jr. to quarterback, and that's worked out for them. This will be a very, very hard game, but I think Kentucky wins it.
Will Muschamp has gotten the seal of approval, apparently, from the administration. They get to host Clemson.
And this time they really mean it, Jordy.
They do.
Really mean it. Okay.
They really mean it. Well, that's good. Good for look. He beat Georgia. Can he do another? Can he upset Clemson? Come on, Gamecocks, talk to me.
No, which is why the line is 26. The thing that they've got to do is not get embarrassed. They're not going to a bowl. They would like to play well against the state rival, but listen, Clemson. I'm telling you, Clemson. They played an awful schedule. But the fact of the matter is, if you watch them play, they've gotten better and better. I think early in the year they're just bored. They're just trying to get to the end of the year, and they take care of South Carolina, get ready to play Virginia or Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game.
No trouble for Florida against Florida State. We're going to skip that one. Do you think LSU's defense got the word because Chairman Mullins said that Ohio State vaulted LSU because LSU's defense basically ain't that good? You think LSU your thoughts?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised because what have we been hearing? LSU's defense and Ohio State is the most complete team. When they tell you that, that means we were looking for a reason to put them at number one, and we found it. But let me tell you what, this game for LSU on Saturday with Texas A&M is a huge football game.
Yes.
It's huge because I believe if they win, they can get into the playoffs even if they lose to Georgia. If they lose to Texas A&M, they have to beat Georgia to get into the playoffs.
Right, no question. 74-72, fresh on their minds, 7 overtimes. A year ago, I think LSU. I know A&M's one of those teams that people forget about. I think LSU has a purpose, just like you said, and a whole other purpose. That I think they wear them out. I really do. Am I crazy?
I don't think. No, you're not. I don't think. And the Texas A&M has gotten better. They gave Georgia all they wanted last week in Athens, but and Kellen Mond's playing well. They just they just can't. I don't think that Texas A&M can keep up the breathless pace of what LSU does offensively. And so, yeah, I think they win this one comfortably.
You mentioned Ohio State. They got to go to Michigan. Michigan's playing really, really well of late. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a really good game. Am I crazy there?
No, it's at Michigan, and they finally figured out at Michigan how to use Shea Patterson to score some points, and they've gotten a lot better. But Ohio State has Chase Young back, and I don't know of anybody in the world who can block this guy at defensive end, and he's going to make Shea Patterson uncomfortable. I think it's a hard fought game, close game, but I see Ohio State winning it.
How they don't double team that dude at all times is absolutely beyond me.
Oh, I was watching Penn State last week. I said, at the very least, you keep a back end to chip the guy, to slow him down. Don't ask, my goodness, bless his heart, don't ask somebody to block that guy. There is no offensive tackle that can get out there to that point and block that guy. You've got to have at least a player and a half or two guys to slow him down.
I'm with you. Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. Where are you going to be this weekend?
This is one of those weekends, Jordy, that is it a designated home game here for at the Barnhart compound. There were too many games I wanted to see. You got Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia Tech at the same time. You got Auburn, Alabama, and you got Wisconsin, Minnesota on the same time. And so, I'm going to be right here at the Barnhart compound.
At the compound.
Watching all the games. Yes, sir.
Tony, thank you, buddy. Enjoy. Take care.
All right, Jordy. Take care, buddy.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll be back with more. It's time for the tripod. We'll pick some games next. Hey, we welcome you back. That's the theme music of the terrific trio, the tripod, as I call it. Say hello to everyone, Mr. George Becknell.
Hello, everybody. How are y'all?
And CD, the same to you.
What's going on, everybody?
All right, here we are. It's a busy, busy week with lots of stuff to talk about. First off, George, I'm going to let you pretend that I am Rob Mullins, the head of the College Football, the chairman of the College Football Playoff Committee, the current athletic director at Oregon. What you got to say to me when I say that Ohio State's the number one team in the country?
Oh, you scared because you don't want Oregon to get that number four spot and get killed by LSU. Clearly, LSU is the number one team in the country. We got the best player in the country, number one. Number two, we have the best strength of schedule and the best wins. We went into Bryant Denny and won against Alabama. We also went to Austin and won. We also beat Florida and Auburn at home. What else do you want us to do? So Ohio State has won their impressive victories on their own turf. LSU is clearly the number one team, and the reason why you know we want LSU to be number one, just in case you get that number four spot, you scared the players.
All right, Clint, this is your opportunity to vent if you so want to. You may agree with Rob Mullen in the committee. So give me your 15 cents worth.
You know, Jordy, I think we got to kind of put it this way. Ohio State is number one for now because, of course, after that win over Penn State, it felt hashtag as expected. Who did LSU play last week? They played the Arkansas Razorbacks, a team that hadn't won in what felt like forever. I'm not apologizing for that one like Coach O did. At the end of the day, Jordy, right here, right now, yes, LSU is the number two team, but I think after the SEC title game, when those final rankings come out, LSU is going to be on top of those rankings.
Yeah. If Georgia takes care of their business, LSU takes care of theirs, it'll be probably number two versus number four in the SEC championship game. That will carry far more weight than Ohio State against a Minnesota or whatever. And it really doesn't matter. The thing that really ticks me off is all these people saying, hey, you don't want to play Clemson. Why not? Why not? Why not? Let's go. If you want to, I'm not scared of Clemson. You scared of Clemson? Nobody. I'm not scared of Clemson. I don't think LSU's scared of Clemson. It doesn't matter. Just get in and take care of your business. LSU has a chance, if they do what they are capable of doing, of becoming the greatest team in the history of LSU football to go 15-0. That would be something. I'm not scared of Clemson, not scared of Ohio State, not scared of anybody if we take care of our business and play up to our potential. But, again, this stuff is kind of meaningless right here and right now. Let's see what happens after the conference championship games. When the dust settles, then we'll see. But either way, we'll either be heading to Phoenix to play or we'll be heading going back to Georgia and playing in Atlanta. All right. Speaking of Atlanta, George, Saints owe the Falcons. They got to keep pace, man. They got to win this game to get to set up the big matchup against San Francisco. We got to get home field advantage in the playoffs. So what's the headlines in Atlanta going to read after the Thursday night showdown between the Saints and the Dirty Birds?
Falcons for Thanksgiving dinner. The Falcons completely dominated the Saints. The Saints, Sean Payton was, a little distracted after asking his long-term girlfriend to marry him. He did a poor job calling plays, which he's a brilliant play caller. The Saints only ran the ball 11 times. They trailed the whole game in Atlanta. I think that's not typical. I think the Saints are going to come out. They're going to be firing on all cylinders. They're going to come out. They're going to control the line of scrimmage. They're going to control the football, and they're going to beat Atlanta in Atlanta and give them sweet revenge, because I don't think the 49ers finish with a better record than the Saints, because they're going to lose to the Ravens and probably against Seattle at some point.
Yeah.
So the Saints will have home field advantage, but they definitely take care of business on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they got some difficult games ahead. There is no question or doubt about that. All right, CD, what about the Saints-Falcons?
For me, how appropriate is it, Jordy, that the Saints-Falcons second matchup is on November 28th, and it's the third game of a tripleheader? Feels pretty apropos that that actually happens. But for me, I'm going to agree with what my guy George Becknell said. We're going to see the Saints crash the Thanksgiving party, and they're going to eat up everything. The stuffing, the turkey, everything in between. They're going to devour the Atlanta Falcons when it's all said and done.
I'm with both of y'all. I agree. I think the Saints are gonna win this thing. I think they learned their lesson. I was kind of stunned by Atlanta with their back-to-back wins, but then they reverted back to their norm by losing to Tampa Bay. So I think they're back on the ground they belong. I think the Saints did take them for granted. I think they did overlook them. I think there were plenty of distractions. That's not the case now, and I think they see the clear vision ahead of them and what home field advantage means to them come playoff time. I think the Saints take care of business and get it done. Close to home, I'll let Clint start off with this one. Raging Cajuns versus the Warhawks of ULM. ULM would love to kind of put a crimp in the season of the Raging Cajuns, but the Raging Cajuns 9-2 with a chance to get to the 10-win mark in the regular season. It hadn't been done before. That's a lot to play for. How do you see it?
For me, Jordy, the headline is going to read perfect 10. We see the Louisiana Raging Cajuns get up on that backside of the Warhawks and get it done in convincing fashion. Won't be like last year, last-second field goal that was missed by the Warhawks. We'll see the Cajuns secure the bag relatively early because they looked at like an absolutely different team against Troy, 53-3. And they'd be getting ready to make that trip up to beautiful Boone, North Carolina, next Saturday.
Okay. George, Cajuns or the Warhawks?
I mean, the Cajuns win this one going away. You know, I'm less than impressed with the Warhawks this season. They've struggled. Yeah, they can play smaller, but I think the Raging Cajuns are on a mission. So I'm with Clint in this one. The Cajuns win, and they win big.
All right, I'm with you. I think Ron Roberts' defense, I think this is the most well-rounded team in the Sun Belt, certainly in their division. I'll go one step further. I think they go up to Boone, North Carolina for the championship game. I think they win that one as long as they stay healthy. The difference between now and when they played them before, Levi Lewis at quarterback, much better. Looks like he is in complete control. He's got unbelievable confidence. They put him in a position to excel. He's throwing the football at a high percentage of completion rate. Very, very few interceptions. I think it makes all the difference in the world. Cajuns are going to win this thing. They're going to win the next one after that, and they're going to New Orleans for the New Orleans Bowl. Yes, they are. Speaking of New Orleans, it's the return of the brow, George. Anthony Davis and the L.A. Lakers, who I've got to admit, right now, if you had to seed the entire NBA, they'd be the top seed. They are playing really, really well. That duo of LeBron and Anthony Davis, it's like they've been playing together forever. LeBron leading the league in assists. So what's going to be the headlines coming out of the Smoothie King Center, sold-out crowd, and how big and loud are the boos going to be?
Oh, my God, Jordan. So everything I've learned about basketball to this point in my life is telling me that the Lakers will win this basketball game. But I'm going to go with my gut, Jordan. I think the Smoothie King Center is going to be raining with boos for Anthony Davis, a guy that spent his whole career in New Orleans and won it out, and it just ended so badly. The fans feel betrayed. I think the Pelicans team come in tonight with revenge on their mind. I think they come in on a mission because you got to think about it, too. Those guys like Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball,
yes.
Josh Hart, those guys feel the same type of way about what the Lakers did. I think emotionally, the Pelicans are going to be riding high, and they're going to end up pulling this one out. Even though they shouldn't, the Lakers are the best team in basketball. I would assume that the Pelicans take care of business. I got two bets with my friends. Hopefully, they end up paying me. But the headline will be, "You aren't welcome here anymore." So the Pelicans win this game. And they're going to win it in dramatic fashion at the end of the game.
There you go. CD.
For me, it's got to be without a doubt sixth man. We talk about it all the time in the NFL, the 12th man. But I think at least for one night, we can say that the Pelicans fan base, the Smoothie King Center, which is going to be jumping, sold out crowd, as you put it, Jordy, it's going to be hot as all get out. And they will definitely be the sixth man to get things done. And the Pelicans are going to come away with a dramatic win. I agree with what George said. It's going to be a lot of fun to see these two teams square off.
The key is going to be the ex-Lakers. Let's think of it this way. The Pelicans didn't want to get rid of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis didn't want the Pelicans. He made that well known. However, the Lakers gave up Ingram and Ball and Hart. They didn't want them. So their feelings are like, okay, you didn't want me? Let me show you what you're missing out on. And Ingram is going to go off on this one. And the headlines are, the king is not the king in the Smoothie King. So LeBron James comes into town, and the Smoothie King Center, like Clint said, is going to be raucous. The boos are going to be, it's going to be every time he touches the ball, they're going to go crazy. And you know what the biggest party night of the year is? No, it's not New Year's Eve night. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That's when people party. It's going to be, whoo, the flowing of the liquids inside the Smoothie King Center is going to be robust. And they're going to take care of business. And I think the Pels win out. The Lakers, if you played 10 times, the Lakers would probably win 8 of them. But tonight's one of the two that the Pels win. All right, let's move on to it's rivalry week in college football. Man, LSU would love nothing more than to see Michigan beat the Ohio State Buckeyes in the Big House. They've been playing well, George. Does King Khakis get it done against the Buckeyes, or does Ohio State keep marching on?
George, I would love nothing more than Ohio State to go down. But, I mean, you can't ignore history. King Khaki has not won a big game since he made his way back to Ann Arbor. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Ohio State is firing on all cylinders. they're going to continue to win. They're going to continue to play well. They're going to win the Big 12, the Big 10, excuse me. And they won't lose till they get to New Orleans. So I take Ohio State best.
All right. Clint, Michigan or Ohio State?
It's going to be the Ohio State Buckeyes. Jordy, we have to agree this is going to be a ball game where Ohio State dominates. I think King Khaki, as my headline will read, Harbaugh's last stand. I think this is going to be the last opportunity Harbaugh has to get it done. If not now, when will we see it finally happen? It's like what we saw with Alabama earlier this year taking on LSU. I think that we see we saw what happened with LSU-Bama, but it'll be the other way around, and we'll see King Khaki go down in a blaze of glory.
I'm going to pull a George Becknell here, and I'm going to go with my gut. And something tells me Michigan has turned their season around. They're playing really, really good football. Ohio State has been brilliant. But every year you have one of those games where, I don't know, the weather's going to be crazy. The fans are going to be crazy. I'm going to go with the upset. I think Michigan State's going to win it late. They're going to kick a field goal, and they're going to shock Ohio State. Ohio State will still get in the playoffs because they'll beat Minnesota, and the Big Ten champ will get in. But I'm going with Michigan to rock the college football playoff world. Please make it happen. Please make it happen.
Ooh,
come on, Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Please make it happen. Right. All right. Let's go down to the plains of Auburn for the Battle of the Iron Bowl. Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide need a 56-0 type of performance to keep them in contention. Does Auburn get it, or does Alabama get their wish?
Well, Joe, if you look at it, man, I think Auburn has a great shot in winning this football game because I don't believe in Mac Jones. And if you look at it, if Alabama thinks they're going to run the ball and beat Auburn, Nick Saban's got another thing coming because that defensive line might be the best defensive line in the country. It's definitely the best defensive line in the SEC this year. So I think Auburn takes care of business in the Iron Bowl. It's going to be a low-scoring game, but they're going to pull it out because of that defensive line and because they're at home. So
all right.
Nick Saban's in trouble this week.
You like Auburn. Okay. CD, who do you like, the Tide or the War Eagles?
You got to like the War Eagles / Plainsmen / Tigers, whatever you want to call them. It don't matter. It's going to be a dub for the Tigers. And I wouldn't be surprised if it winds up being a 10-point ball game at the end of it. So because of the fact, I think Bo Nix, the fact that he is a freshman who's played all year long, I think that helps him out a lot more. I wouldn't be surprised if the pressure kind of gets to Mac Jones in this kind of big rivalry game. Give me the Auburn Tigers to get it done.
I'll still take Mac Jones over Bo Nix. I know Nix plays better at home, but look, they still got Judy. They still got Smith. They still got all those wide receivers, and they got Najee Harris, the running back. I just believe Alabama's going to win the darn thing. Shame on me, but I think Alabama wins a close one because I think they still have too many weapons offensively, and I still think I'll take Nick Saban over Gus Malzahn 6 days out of the week and twice on Sunday. I just believe it. So I'm going with Alabama. Let's get to the main course on a Saturday night. LSU drops down to number 2 basically because Rob Mullen said their defense isn't what Ohio State's defense is. Thank you very much, Rob. Thank you for giving even more motivation to a team who is completely motivated for this game after what happened a year ago and with all that's on the line with a perfect regular season and sending Joe Burrow and company off as seniors unscathed. George, 17-point favorite are the LSU Tigers. How do you see it?
Yo, they're going to destroy the spread this week. I'm telling you, man. You know, I see Joe Burrow just throwing all over the field in the first half. I think this team is really, really focused. And also, to your point, they haven't forgotten about last year. They're coming in with this game on their mind. They're going to blow out A&M, and it's going to be a battle. They're going to leave no doubt. And not only that, I think Joe Burrow wants to put, you know, some more icing on his stats, man. So I look for LSU to come out firing. I look for Miles Brennan to pick it up in the second half because there's going to be no reason for Joe Burrow to play past halftime. So I think LSU is going to win this one big.
All right. CD, what do you think?
It's going to be LSU rolling over Texas A&M. And I'm going to put a guarantee on this, Jordy.
Ooh,
I'm going to put a guarantee that by the end of the ball game, we hear the Golden Band from Tigerland play the song that we've been waiting to hear all year long.
Ooh.
Towards the end of that ball game, when LSU's got that 12-0 record well in hand, we hear the band play Neck.
I can't wait.
I really believe, and he'll never say it, I really believe that Ed Orgeron, if it were possible, I think he'd like to put 80 points on Texas A&M. How many times did Joe Oliva try to get Jimbo Fisher to be the head coach at LSU? Not once, but twice. As everyone said, LSU settled on Ed Orgeron. How's that turned out? Turned out pretty good. I think Ed Orgeron would love to score 80 on these guys. I think they want to turn Joe Burrow loose and make it absolutely without equivocation, no doubt whatsoever, that he is the Heisman Trophy winner. You ain't going to see him being pulled out in the third quarter. He's going to keep playing. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to keep playing. I think those wide receivers, I just think the LSU defense has once and for all said, you know what, I'm sick and tired of this. We're going to play like we're possessed. And I think LSU destroys Texas A&M. I really think 17, worse than that. I think they beat A&M a lot worse and a lot better than they beat Arkansas. This team has their attention. They're focused. I think they go into Atlanta on an uptick, and I can't wait to see A&M get out of town. And Damian Craig, see what he does on this one, right? See what he does on this one. I think LSU absolutely rolls. So we are in agreement across the board. George, thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend. And CD, we'll be back to wrap this puppy up. Y'all be good. This is the Jordy Helfert Show and the Three Amigos here on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. All right. Been a fun show. Special thanks to all of our guests, Chris Cozart, Jim Nickel, Doug Morrow, George Faust, Tony Barnhart, George Becknell, Clint Domain, and you for listening, and to our partners that make it possible each and every day. What a great season it has been for the Tigers, the Cajuns, and the Saints. It's winding down. So if you have a vested or an interest in either of them or all of them, go support them, go watch them, go have some fun with it. Should be an exciting weekend as the regular season of college football comes to a close, and then it's conference championship time for both LSU and UL, and then it's bowl time. And hopefully for LSU, they'll go unscathed and they'll get into the college football playoff without any problems whatsoever and go from there. Should be a lot of fun. CD, thanks so much for all you do. Have a great one, everybody. We'll talk to you next time here on the Jordy Helfert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Until next time, stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.